And with your Bible in hand, once again, I would like to have you come to 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you please? 1 Peter chapter 1. Our subject this morning is faith in the fire. Faith in the fire. As the children of God are nourished up in the words of faith, they are able to realize, I think, that there are positive elements that come to the surface when their faith is in the fire. I'd like to begin reading at verse number 3 in 1 Peter. If you'll just listen as I do so. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice that in His name, Lord is Master. Jesus, He is the man, the God-man. Holy God, holy man. Christ points to the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He will be the unparalleled and undisputed King of the entire planet during the millennial age. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that which we celebrate each Lord's Day, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's the point and the purpose of our coming to worship. We sacrifice His sacrifice at the cross and in His subsequent resurrection from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, pointing to the dross in the test process, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I point out again that out of verse number 2, the elect mentioned in verse 2 are said to be kept by the power of God unto salvation, and that that keeping is through faith, through faith. First of all, let me just point out again that the elect that are mentioned here are a people from the very first to the present day who were before chosen of God before the foundation of the world. Specific individuals, specific named individuals. God chose for His very own. These, according to what we read in Peter, are said to be kept by the power, the omnipotent power of God, through faith. Now, faith is something that I believe Hebrews, the 11th chapter, amply describes it, but faith understands this. Faith apprehends that what God has said will come to pass. Faith apprehends that what God has done really occurred, even though there is no evidence that can be offered, that can be satisfied in a scientific laboratory. It is sufficient for the child of God who has been given the gift of faith unto eternal life. It is sufficient that God has said it, and on what He has said, I rest my case and stake my life for all eternity. And so we find that this faith, that is, in this faith, you greatly rejoice, though now, it may be, for a season, you are, as the scriptures say here, in heaviness. Perhaps some sort of distressing grief. There are those who among us mourn. There are those among us who suffer vigorous illness and have accompanying pain. There are those who have regrets and remorse over the consequences that they now live under because of poor choices that they made in their own lives. But as affecting the church as a whole and the nation as a whole, there may be other things that are particularly distressing to us. They are said to be manifold, literally a various assortment of temptations. Various assorted temptations. And that word itself clarifies the purpose for the occasion, which is this. It's a testing to prove, number one, a testing to prove the reality, in this case, the faith. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial, listen, a trial is a place where the evidence is heard, where the evidence is put on display, and where that evidence is weighed by an impartial jury, or a sovereign judge, in this case God. So that the trial of your faith, though tried with fire, and I want you to picture the ancient refining process of which this speaks. Let me just give you a couple of references. You may note them, look at them, if you can get to them quick enough, or look at them later. The first one is found in the book of Zechariah, the 13th chapter, the 9th verse. Keep in mind the refining process and why it is so. In Zechariah 13, it says, "And I will bring," God speaking, "the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." Picture, please. A fire that is heated to a certain temperature sufficient to turn that which is solid into liquid. In this case, silver or gold in its raw form. And the purpose behind the refining is that after a while, after a certain degree of boiling, after a certain temperature is reached, that which is called dross, in the Hebrew, it is a word that refers to waste material or refuse. That metal is heated to a certain degree so that the dross rises to the surface. And the refiner is then able to take that which comes to the surface and extract it from the pure metal. Remove the liquid from the fire, solidify it or shape it into whatever form the refiner wishes. It may be in bullion. It may be in small coins. It may be in simple bars. It may just be a lump of gold. But once the dross is removed, it is 100% pure. Okay? Now there's another place in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that speaks to this testing that Peter talks about concerning the faith. And in Malachi 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, "He," or God, "shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." The purging is the result of the process that brings the dross to the surface to be extracted. Literally, refuse. It's worthless. Now it may for a time have all the appearances of the genuine article, but inasmuch that under heat, the heat of the test, like faith in the fire, dross comes to the surface. Now you may have illustrations that you can look at in your time, in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the seed and the sower. And there is a good bit of illustration there where it is said that a grouping of people who had received the word of God and received it at once with joy later fell into temptation and a snare where their faith is said or implied to have been tested. And what the fire revealed concerning their faith was that it essentially was composed of dross. Now, it is also, we are reminded in Scripture, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Please understand that God sometimes will bring your faith into the fire to prove something. Not to him. He has all the evidence. I mean, he's the one that chose from before the foundation of the world. But the proving basically is to bring the evidence forth to the individual being tested and to everybody else around them, that God might be glorified when the person whose faith is in the fire stands to the test. Sometimes it is said that the extreme heat under which our faith oftentimes goes will deter a professing Christian so that they might just abandon their professed faith in the Lord and prove to all those around them that what they professed to have never was in reality true faith. Now, on the other hand, when it is the child of God who is under the heat or in the heat, where faith is in the fire, and then faith is found on the other side of the test to be genuine, what a tremendous encouragement for the individual child of God as they are able to look back. And one of the great resources of Christian encouragement is the ability to be able to look back in their life and note the times and the places where God sustained them in their trial. The very fact that the flag is still waving for Christ after all of a lifetime of adverse circumstances and heaviness, still waving and waiting, is a tremendous encouragement to the child of God in the present evil circumstance. And so we have, it said also in Proverbs 25 and verse 4. I want you to look at that. Don't lose your place in 1 Peter. But go to Proverbs, please. Chapter 25. Proverbs 25, the fourth verse, where you see this. It is said, take away the dross. Take away the dross from the silver. What's the result? Verse 4. There shall come forth a vessel pure for the refiner. The refiner, finally, once the dross is removed, has a piece of pure metal. Now the moral, or the lesson, is found in the next verse. The principle is found in the next verse. Take away the wicked, tantamount to the dross. The refuse. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So you have in verses 4 and 5 a lesson that finds us at the refiner's fire. Even as the silver is purged, so shall the wicked be purged, and the result on the one hand for the refiner is pure silver, on the other hand, righteousness. Equated with purity. And so, Then does 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 speaking or declaring that the trial of your faith on the other side of the refining process is found to be much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth. Now what is he speaking to? The gold that perishes is a reference to the dross that comes to the surface. That it, the faith, professed and possessed might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Faith persuades the saint that he is going to appear. Faith persuades the saint that he is going to appear. Jesus said he would. Faith believes it so. Where it is said by the apostle Peter in his second book that there shall come in the latter days scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning, evidencing, however they may have professed the faith, never possessed the faith, that when the fire of affliction burns the hottest, there are those absent faith who abdicate the faith. So then, first thing we learned this morning, dear brethren, my dear friends, is that this is a precious faith. Faith in the fire is a precious faith, something that is to be treasured, something that is to be held in high esteem by the possessor of the faith. After all, where did you get it? Ephesians chapter 2, very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. It is a precious thing. Charles Spurgeon said, faith untried or untested may be true faith. Maybe. But it is sure to be a little faith. And it is likely to remain dwarfish so long as it is without trials. And again he said, no faith is so precious as that which lives and triumphs in adversity. When the heat is on, it is said, faith prospers well when all things are against it. Now the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verses 11 and 12, he said, blessed are ye when all men shall persecute you. Or pardon me. Blessed are ye when all men shall persecute you, revile you, call you names, curl their lips up at you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now that hurts, brothers and sisters, doesn't it? There's no sniff of flattery in those comments. That's nothing but designed malice. And yet, if they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, faith which takes the Lord at his word is able, secondly, to prosper. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. Now there's the prospering. You may be dirt poor, comparatively speaking, though I don't think too many Americans are like that compared to the rest of the world. But you may not be a hedge fund manager in the closet with millions of dollars of assets and money buried in a Swiss bank account. Or you may not be the person who has been hoarding all of your greenbacks under your mattress. You may not even have much in your safe deposit box at the bank, if you still got your stuff in the bank. Hint, hint. You may not have all of that, but one thing you may know, when your faith is under fire and in the fire, the Lord Himself said your reward in heaven is great. You will prosper, maybe not now, maybe not till then, but you will prosper. The fire is no reason to give up the faith. The fire of heaviness and adversity and distressing grief is no cause to give up the faith, because there are those who came before you. Hey, you know what? I got sobered up a little bit, not literally, but humbled last evening. One of the things that my wife and I enjoy, and I know many of you do, is that every Memorial Day, they have a national Memorial Day service in Washington, D.C. at the plaza there. And they take that time to honor families of veterans and specific individual soldiers and like that. And, I see a lot of guys walking around with all due respect given, and certainly worthy of it, they've got, you know, their paraphernalia on indicating that they served this war, that war, and all that, and the other thing. But last night I saw a young man that was on a special honors ceremony, put on by, I'm thinking it was the USO or somebody, but, what was it? Veteran something, but they put on this tremendous honor ceremony, and one of the fellows that they honored was a young man, I think 26 years old. And when I saw and heard his story, I said, I'm going to take all my veteran paraphernalia and put it in my closet, because when I look at what this young man did, you know, the likes of me doesn't deserve to stand next to him holding anything he owns. Here's a young man who first went to the Middle East and was part of an elite Ranger detachment. And in the course, I think with 2 days left on that current tour that he was on, his vehicle, he was riding in one of those tin can striker vehicles that Daniel Laird was riding in when he first went there the first trip. Somebody rolled a grenade in the top of it, blew it apart. And the bottom line was, this guy was severely damaged on one side of his body. His arm was really shattered, and he essentially lost his leg. And so, I think this was his third trip over when this happened, with 2 days left to go on his third tour. This happens to him. They send him home. You know what this kid did? He determined that he was going to be outfitted for a prosthetic limb to replace his leg, and he was going to work and labor to rejoin his combat unit, that elite Ranger detachment, the same bunch. They were all skeptical, but you know what? After about 8 months of rehab, he went through repeated all of the training regimen without any slack being cut to him, regained his position as platoon leader in his combat unit. And you know what? If that wasn't enough, he went back for trip number 4. And when they were finished with his little resume, they said that the young man has successfully navigated 10 different combat tours in Afghanistan and Iraq at the age of 26. And they had him there to present him an award. And I thought to myself, I don't understand the mentality of this youthful generation that wants to go back again and again and again. And I don't get it. But I was humbled by it. And I know that as marvelous as that was, as great as the prospering was, eventually for him here on earth, though you may fall in line for some of the most ridiculous kinds of evil, malicious slander, yet it is said, great is your reward in heaven. Faith in the fire prospers. Paul told the Roman Christians, he says, rejoice in hope. That next phrase is, be patient in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. In 2 Corinthians, he told the church in chapter 6, verse 10, as sorrowful, which is the effect of the trial, faith in the fire, yet always rejoicing. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, says, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, he says, count it what? Count it all joy. Then Job, in chapter 23, verse 10, he says, when he, God, hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Was there ever anybody's faith in the fire to such a heated degree as Job's was? The Lord trieth the hearts. When faith is in the fire as was Job's, here's what he said. In Job 23, verse 11, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Old Job's faith was in the fire, and that old pot was a boiling, and what came to the surface was the dross of his doubts, extracted by God to reveal the purity of the gold, which was the substance of the man's faith. All that while faith was in the fire. Third, faith is in the fire will prove the value as well as the authenticity of it. One of the great passages that Christians oftentimes read concerning the Bema Seat is found in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. And here's what it says there. Every man's work, mine, yours, and ours, every man's work shall be made manifest. A word that means shiningly apparent. It shall be revealed by fire. By fire. That's a hint at the testing process. Openly disclosed, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And it's after the quality, because when it talks about these rewards, every man's work will be tried as to see what sort it is, not how much or numerically speaking, how many works were done, but what is the quality of the work that was performed? Faith, listen, proof here. Faith works. Faith works. Even when faith is in the fire, faith works. And Jeremiah, he said in chapter 23, he says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? Isaiah the prophet says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Isaiah also said, judgment also will I lay to the line, and you contractors and carpenters will perk up on here. Isaiah 28, 17, judgment will I also lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. The proof, faith in the fire, yet faith works because faith is. And so then, again, James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, proves at the other end, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience, while faith is in the fire, is proof of the quality of the faith professed. Faith works. Makes a case for living faith in the courtroom of divine justice. Be ye doers of the word, said James. And one of the things that he mentioned in the second chapter was when he says, be ye doers of the word, then chapter 2, verse 8, he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well, he said. So have faith. What does the fire bring to the surface? Because the James also says, if you have faith and you don't have works, your faith is like dross. It's dead. It is refuse. He goes on to say, show me thy faith. How? By my... You have faith and not works. It's dead, dross-like. Rather, show thy faith in the fire by works. My dear friends, there is a proving when faith is in the fire. There is a prospering when faith is in the fire. And there is, beyond any human calculation, a preciousness of the faith in the fire. So don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. If you haven't had trials in your life, you may have faith. But God brings the trials, the winds of adversity into our life to test the sapling strength. And as it goes this way and this way and stands its ground on the other side of that, it is made the stronger for it. And in that, God is glorified. And that is the aim and the goal of it all.